Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All of a sudden, a television turns on.
Fucking
flickers
hell.
On. God. There's a VHS being played of Diego Maradona's best bits.
Oh. Hello and welcome to Reminding You Why You Love Football, a podcast from Monday Owl, a quarterly football magazine that I co-founded way back in 2014 and I'm somehow still doing almost a decade later.
Woo! Been a couple of close shaves.
Been a couple of close shaves, exactly. Yeah.
A little bit of time spent in the loony bin.
Yeah.
But luckily recycling is now the in thing.
Look at this. Come out the other side and now I am...
You're beaming. You're full of beans.
Here. I'm all here. And you're thinking, you are all thinking, hang on, where is that Owen fella? That's what you're all thinking. I know you are. He's got a very bad cold. Owen, unfortunately, has got a very bad cold. So I am stepping into the very, very hot seat. Of course, I wasn't going to sit in his actual seat. That is Owen's seat. But I'm going to sit.
I have.
You are. James is spreading his arms.
And he will be furious as he listens to this first edit.
That's true, actually. But let's set the scene, Tommy. My name is Sebastian Dennis White, commander of the armies of the Southwest. More Somerset than Devon, to be honest. I'm general of the Mundi Owl legions and loyal servant to the true emperor, Owen Blackhurst of Bridge North. A father to Ava, who loves the Chelts. A husband to a wife, who is just fed up of all the football, to be honest. Vengeance isn't really my thing in this life or the next. So this week, you're going to have to listen to me, host, reminding you why you love football, because our emperor has got a very bad cold. Of course, anyone will be familiar with that if you've watched Gladiator a million times like I have. But
great film.
Hopefully I did some justice there.
Sebastian Dennis White.
Yeah. Right then, if you're new, then welcome. One thing I would say is you are very lucky because you have got, if you are new, you've got 36 previous timeless episodes to catch up on. If you are a regular listener, thank you very much for your support. If you've not left us a review on Apple yet, then please do. Otherwise, I might actually have to get into that vengeance luck. Thanks to Shepherd on Apple, who said, entertaining, informative, humorous, nostalgic, emotional. Seb, Tommy, Owen and James are virtuosos in what they do.
Oh.
Long may their provision of audio continue. Exceptional podcast.
Seb's pockets, another £10 lighter. Yeah.
Oh,
just write virtuoso.
Just virtuoso. It's pretty good. That's probably the nicest thing of all the reviews. And virtuosos.
Virtuosos on the keyboard.
Yeah,
that's an Action Bronson lyric, but that's us. Virtuosos on the mic.
Thank you very much, Shepherd. And please, please do leave a review. It does genuinely make a huge, huge difference to the various algorithms and us as being seen more by a more wider audience.
I've decided I'm going on a campaign this year. I might even do a door-to-door physical campaign of just getting every fucker to review this.
So
we can go get where... Because the listeners are in their droves. They're
you
in their
could
thousands.
Just go on to I'm a Celeb to get me out of it.
Yeah. This is true.
Am I big
this
enough?
This is true, yeah. Oh, very much so. I mean, it's dwindling, isn't it? They're getting worse. They're getting less and less a celebrity, shall we say. A bit like the Dad's Doorstep Challenge.
Yeah.
Tommy just turning up on your doorstep with a Sonos speaker.
What a reference.
Today, this day, the podcast is released. It's actor Mark Rylance's birthday.
Oh.
Arguably one of the best actors of his generation.
Oh, yeah.
But also the voice of Flop, who guides Bing through his many travels on CBeebies.
a great show.
Exactly. Am I right? Joining me this week is Mundi Owl features editor James Nicky, the small anthropomorphic brown elephant who is always winding thing up, bird. As always, to my right, my faithful audio brother, Tommy Pando the Panda, who was always taking his shorts off, Stuart.
He is as well. Panda's always taking his pants off.
There we are, see. So we are...
A fellow gooser.
That's the Bing Late Night. Bing Late Night. We are a 4.8 on Apple, 5-star on Spotify, and we are part of the Acast Creator Network. Whew. Let's bloody get on with reminding people why they love football and not CB.
Ole, 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 feeling seb, seb, seb.
Adventures in Clubland.
The power that comes with hosting, I will be taking charge of this particular segment because it's Adventures in Clubland. And if you don't know what Adventures in Clubland is, it's a regular feature taken from our magazine. It's where we look at players you know or you might not know, and go deep on a loan spell, an Indian summer, or a last chance saloon, I think is...
And shout out to Rainey Miller on the soundtrack, who got on the end of last year. He got on loads of, like, the fucking album of the year. Pitchfork and everything.
What? Who made our
song?
Yep.
Rainey Miller in Space Africa, yeah.
Well, wow.
He is smashing it all around the world. He's playing in Berlin. He just played in... Asia.
What? Like, the bloke who's done this track?
Yeah, exactly. Adventures in Clubland.
Yeah. Adventures in Clubland.
Is he going to... He should play a version of the track with us, with our voices
Tommy,
in it.
We would love... Imagine. We would love to be at a Rainey Miller gig where he drops...
Oh, my God.
Even if it's just for 10, 15 seconds.
He does do DJ sets on the side.
Oh, well, we're going to have to sort this out, aren't we?
I'm going to have to do the Mike Skinner... Rap
yes,
that I've promised for over the top of this
track.
Yes. He's gonna have to drop it at Primavera.
Yeah. He's playing Primavera.
There you are, see. We gotta go, haven't we? Imagine that.
This year, he's playing Primavera this year.
For goodness sake. Oh no. This is what Owen
We are gonna have to go.
Owen did mention about all of us going to Ibiza at one point and doing things all we shouldn't.
Here we go, Barcelona, baby.
It might have to be Primavera.
Full speed ahead, Barcelona!
Disco biscuits! Woo! Anyway, Adventures in Clubland. This week, as I said, I'm in charge, and it's me. But
no we.
Exactly. There's going to be a theme running throughout this.
Whoa!
Whoa! On page 11, I realise I say 11, like
11.
Some yokel, but on page 11 of the latest issue of Mundial, which is available on mundialmag.com, there is a wonderful photo of Oliver Bierhoff in an Udinese shirt riding a bicycle from 1996. So... That was the inspiration for today's adventure in Clubland, which is Oliver Bierhoff's spell at the Little Zebras between 1995 and 1998.
Just very quickly, Seb, to interrupt, thank God he's not taken that bike onto a tube, eh?
Oh, God. I tell you what, I saw one this morning and I realised what actually gets my gut up about it, like really gets my gut up. It's the size of the wheels. It's so much effort for so little reward. They're so small.
So you get so more. Small. You're getting even more.
I know.
Honed
I know.
In
I
now.
Know. I nearly pushed him over, but I did.
The hatred is honed in.
Now we think of Oliver Bierhoff, or you should know as Oliver Bierhoff, as the guy who scored the golden goal at the Euro '96 final for Germany. Mm-hmm. He was technical director at Germany for a long, long time. So this man is one of Germany's best ever strikers. But he doesn't do very well in his career in Germany. Doesn't do very well at all. And it gets to the point where he has a few spells in Germany that don't really go anywhere. And it's only when he goes to Austria Salzburg where he... where he finds his form and he finds, you know, scores goals for fun, so to speak. And as a result of that, Ascoli sign him, who are in Serie B. They're not even in Serie A, they're in Serie B. So Ascoli sign him, another team in black and white. And off the back of that, he signs for Udinese in 1995. Now, Udinese are a club enjoying one of their best spells in their history under a very, very good manager called Alberto Zaccheroni. And in his first season
Oliver Bierhoff scores 40% of Udinese's goals.
That's crazy.
And they qualify for the UEFA Cup. So this is good times. This is a good first season, a good start. But it gets better. The next season, he just carries on scoring, and there's a great goal comp where, and it's one of these things that this is one of the things I love about reminding you why I love football is, yeah, I know him as the striker in Germany, and I've seen him score the golden goal. I've seen him, yep. You know, you've seen him score goals at, yep, World Cups and Euros. Because Gazzetta was starting to fade off 97, 98. It wasn't the thing it was in early 90s, mid 90s. And looking at this goal comp, this man scores headers for fun. And not just the same header where it's the same winger crossing and the same just lofty bloke just stood there powering in. Diving headers, you know, just little different headers that are flicked up that he just knocks in and bashes in.
You know what I've realised from 37 episodes of this? Mm. You love a header, don't you, Seb?
I think I do, actually.
You really
do?
Yeah. I listen to our voices for hours and hours every single week.
Well, this is what's...
And you talk about headers a lot. And which is, I'm not,
it's not
a bad thing.
Marcus Stewart.
Maybe Stewart. That's it. The best goal I've ever
Zamorano.
Seen.
Zamorano.
Well, exactly.
We spoke about his headers.
We did, but it's just, and this is the Italian league as well, you know, defensively, even then, not as much, obviously, as the 80s and 90s, but Catenaccio and all that is still living and breathing in various teams in Italy. And he finds pockets of space and just has all the time in the world to just arc these headers towards a far corner. He's just brilliant, really. He's just brilliant. And in his third season, he becomes the top scorer in Serie A.
Oh, really?
Which tells you...
No mean feat, is it?
Which tells you...
In the 90s.
You know.
Ahead of some big names.
Yeah. And Udinese finished third in the league.
Wow.
Behind...
Bloody hell.
Yeah. Behind Juventus and Inter Milan. So, this is a team that aren't necessarily one of the bigger Italian teams. He is consistently scoring goals week in, week out, and a large proportion of goals for a very good side that's coached extremely well by Zaccheroni. So much so that Zaccheroni gets tempted to join Milan. And who is the first person that he brings over to Milan?
Oliver Bierhoff.
Big Oliver.
And they go and win the league for Milan.
And the circle is complete.
So there you are. But, I mean, he scores a shitload of good goals and great headers over a sustained period of time in one of the toughest leagues to score in the world. I don't think you can get many better adventures, shall we say. And for a team, like I said, who were quite unfashionable in Italian football terms.
Was there any other superstars or near enough, or internationals in that Udinese team?
There was a lot of industrious players like Jorgensen and stuff like that for Denmark. Amoruso played for them, you know, the Brazilian striker as well. But Zaccheroni moulded a great squad and a great team, and they consistently, they finished higher every season until eventually they finished third in the Serie A, which is no mean feat, as we all know.
When I read that you can talk about Bierhoff, one, the photo on page 11 of Mundial issue 29 of him. So the subject of those, that series of photos in the magazine is peace, and he just looks so at peace on this bike cycling to Udinese training. Like he's a man in his element. But the one thing that I did look at when I saw that you were going to speak about Bierhoff was who he finished ahead of the season that he top scored in Serie A. So that's 97-98, right?
Go on,
so it's also, I once had a little look at if strikers score more goals in the seasons preceding a World Cup season. And it was quite...
I remember you saying this.
It was quite like... It was quite a rudimentary way of looking at it. I was just fucking literally listing the goals that they scored. Yeah. But they do score more. So I had a little look at who he finished ahead of in the 97-98 Serie A season.
I can't wait.
So how many goals has he scored? Remind me again, James, how many goals he scored?
So he scored 27 goals.
Yeah.
I mean, again,
in the league alone.
Regardless of... Who underneath it?
In Serie A.
So we'll do a top seven.
Top seven?
Oh!
Yeah. So in seventh place was Filippo Inzaghi with 18 goals. Sixth, Vincenzo Montella with 20 goals.
Player.
Fifth, now we get going.
Now.
Gabriel Batistuta with 21 goals.
Fourth. He's got six more than Batigol.
Alessandro Del Piero with 21 goals. Third is a man called Roberto Baggio with 22 goals. And then second is a 21-year-old man called Ronaldo Luis Nazario, who scored 25 goals. And then you've got Oliver Bierhoff with 27 at the top.
There you are.
So I'd imagine that to finish top of the pops that season.
Top of the pops.
Well, By 2 goals as well. By the player who's arguably the best player in the world at that time.
For Udinese, a team that finishes third as well.
That's just some of the greatest strikers of all time.
The top five is essentially the Mount Olympus of Serie A.
Yeah. 90 yeah. strikers.
90 strikers.
Inzaghi, Montella. Yeah.
Yeah, when James read, he read Inzaghi and Montella and said, and now we get going. I was like, oh, yeah, what? Yeah. It gets better.
And he's 30 at this point.
Is he? Wow.
So, you know, there's always this talk about when's the ideal age or peak age of footballers, and it always changes, doesn't it? Especially now where there's more games, and it seems that, you know, maybe Michael Owen and Wayne Rooney are probably very good examples of this. You know, they were still good players towards the end, don't get me wrong, but they certainly burned bright.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, strikers or players of that ilk were like, oh, they're hitting their peak at 26, 27.
Yeah.
But, you know, to still be doing that when he's, even if it isn't the case where that, you know, you're not hitting your peak, you're hitting your peak earlier, like 23, 24, Ronaldo 21, for example. To do that at 30 is ridiculous.
In that league against the likes of Nesta and Cannavaro.
Yeah. And again, he's not come from Bayern Munich. He's not come from Dortmund. He's not come from Stuttgart, all these teams. He's come from lowly German teams. He's come via Austria Salzburg. 3 seasons in Serie B with Ascoli.
He was there for 3 seasons.
Yeah.
Well, that's persistence, isn't it? That's just like...
It is persistence.
And I'm sure a lot of players would have folded under, you know, like...
Yeah. Quite. 4 seasons. He had 4 seasons at Ascoli. But he scored one every other game there. But Udinese, he scored 57 goals in 86 games.
Wow.
It's pretty fucking good.
A move was coming.
And he goes to AC Milan and they win Serie A.
Amazing.
So he won Serie A with AC Milan.
In 98, 99.
He won Euros.
Euros in
Germany.
96. Runner-up in 2002.
Yep.
Obviously. And
he was still playing in 2002.
Yep. He was in the squad in 2002.
Wow.
Yeah. There you go. What a player.
What a player.
What an adventure.
What an adventure.
An Italian adventure for a German stallion.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, the next section of Reminding You Why I Love Football this week is 101 things to do in football before you die. Now, if there are any new listeners, again, welcome. Thank you for joining us, and you're still with us, so thank you. This section sees us go into the memory bank and all our previous football experiences to give you all a checklist to tick off and do properly. So I'm amazed that we haven't done this one before because it's so good, as you will soon find out. But this week, it's James Bird. James Bird, what are you telling our great listeners to do?
I'm telling our great listeners to go to Napoli.
Oh, yes.
Now, I want to preface this. I don't want to sound like an arsehole, but I feel that, especially in the last few years, Napoli has sort of become a bit of a theme park in a way for football fans and football accounts. Obviously, they won the Scudetto and that was brilliant and beautiful, but I just saw so many people sort of leering at the people who live there and sort of being like, oh, wow, it's so poor here, but so brilliant because they love football so much. And, you know, the sort of media around Napoli has almost become too much. They've been everywhere. And I know that a lot of Italian football fans are a bit sick of the amount of media that Napoli get when every place in Italy has its own football culture.
100%, yeah.
But the experience I had there when I wrote the cover story in 2017.
Was it that long ago?
That long ago.
God.
So I went to speak to everyone from carpenters to sociologists to men selling merchandise on the side of the road to women in coffee shops about Diego Maradona and the effect that he had on the people there. Again, this is something that, especially since Asif Kapadia's brilliant film, has been discussed over and over and over again. But what I'm trying to say to people here is to push all of that to one side. And at some point in your life, go and visit the city and really sort of engulf yourself in what's going on there. Because sure, pizzas are cheaper. Sure, there's 10-year-olds on motorbikes whizzing around the streets at 2 a.m. Sure, there's fireworks going off and all of those things that have sort of become a caricature of the place. They are caricatures of Naples. But beneath that, there's a real sort of amazing soul to it. And people who genuinely are so friendly to strangers, so willing to share their experiences and their culture with you, because it is a different culture. Neapolitans do see themselves as Neapolitan before they see themselves as Italian.
Bit like Liverpudlians.
Very much so. And again, I've spoken about this before on the podcast, but port cities have that sort of thing.
Yes, and I love that. I love how you said that.
They have that feeling of being on the edge.
They're on the edge, yeah.
And interesting things happen because there's the movement of people, there's a movement of things, of products. Everything comes in via a port and leaves via a port.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought I'd talk about a couple of the things that I did whilst I was in Naples. So,
and are these things people can... These things.
Yeah,
are
yeah,
people?
Yeah, definitely.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
So the first of those is, there's a man called Ciro.
Yeah.
Who, on the corner of Via Toledo, he's got a Napoli merchandise store with not just Napoli, with everything on there. He's always wearing a different tracksuit. Sometimes he's got an Ali Borussia Dortmund tracksuit on. You know, sometimes he's got an Ajax full kit on or whatever. But Ciro's a very, very knowledgeable man, as you are if you spend your time on the streets. You know, people talk about sort of like street corners being where real culture is shared, whether it's old men playing cards or whether it's young men smoking joints or whatever it may be. That's where real stories are told. And Ciro, who I've kept in touch with, who he voice notes me on New Year's Eve and,
really?
And stuff like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's Lovely. A wonderful guy. Go and speak to him.
Yeah, yeah.
Go and speak to him about football.
Yeah.
Go and speak to him about life. Go and speak to him about the games that he saw. He's the person who told me that Diego Maradona was his first girlfriend. Mm. He said that I was living... I was living just for Diego Maradona. I was travelling the country just for him. He talks about him being his first girlfriend. So find him. If you're going to go, find him and talk to him about football. Talk to him about life. He's such a clever and interesting guy, as you are if you spend that amount of time on the streets. Mm. He's got a mate. Now, his mate is called Antonio. And Antonio is the man with the fucking magic.
Oh.
So he told me, he was like, you have to speak to Antonio. He's the man with the magic. Antonio's over the other side of the road on a motorino, smoking a fag, sunglasses down. Come over here. Antonio doesn't speak very much English. Yeah. But as you do with football, the greatest leveler that the world has ever seen.
100%.
You find a way of talking. So Antonio told me to come with him. So I jumped on the back of his motorino. We zoomed into the Quartiere Spagnolo and parked outside a block of flats. Now, as is the case in Europe, where you see sort of the facades of houses, it's not like in the UK where there's the house and then there's gardens behind it. As you go through the front door of this house, this series of, you know, sort of classic Italian and European apartments, you go into a courtyard and it's gigantic. There's sort of kids playing around in the middle.
Yeah.
There's sort of seven flights of stairs. We go through all these stairs. Follow me, follow me. I need to show you. I honestly
have no idea
point,
where you're going.
I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know who he is. I don't have my translator with me either.
Yeah.
So we get a few more flights of stairs, get to his door right on the end. It's dark, it's boiling hot. And on the front of his door is just the number 10. Now, I don't think his house was number 10. It was probably number 375.
Yeah, yeah. But
we go through. There's a couple of kids and Antonio's wife is doing the ironing.
Mm.
And he's like, do you want coffee? Like, no, I've already had five coffees. I've already done five of their interviews that day. No, I'm okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Go and sit in there. So I go and sit in with his wife. Would you like a coffee? Like, no, I'm honestly...
I'm buzzing.
I've already had too many.
I'm fucking wired.
I can hear Antonio doing some bits and pieces. The kids are chucked out of the house.
Oh. Are they? Yeah, oh, God.
Bloody hell.
I'm like, what's going on here? It's a two-bedroom flat.
Yeah.
And Antonio has three children. The room opposite his bedroom is the room that I assume is his children's bedroom.
You would assume that correctly.
Anyway, Antonio comes back out and says, anyway, James, I'm ready. I'm ready now. Come with me. And he takes me to the room that I assume is his children's bedroom. He shuts the door and says, wait outside. He turns the light off. I go inside. He goes and presses play. And surround sound speakers.
Oh my God.
Starts playing Simply the Best by Tina Turner.
Yes!
I walk in.
What?
He turns the lights on, but they're not big lights at the top. They're individual sort of little flickering lights.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, a television turns on.
Fucking
flickers
hell.
On. God. There's a VHS being played of Diego Maradona's best bits.
Oh.
And then I look around the room And everywhere you look is a shirt that he wore. He's got the only time he wore the number 11 on a swivelling mannequin.
The actual shirt.
Swivelling round in a sort of motorised motion. I look to the left. And he's like, look over here, look over here. And I look over here. He's like, these are two pairs of boots that he wore. He's got some, you know, some Puma Kings.
So it's a museum. It's in
his,
a bedroom.
In this tiny room that I assumed would be his children's bedroom is this secret...
Where do the children sleep? Secret,
is this secret Diego Maradona museum. And so I got chatting to him and he knew Diego's brother very, very well. So I believe that's how he got a lot of the separate bits. But I mean, these shirts and these things are worth a lot.
Oh my God.
A lot of money.
That room alone, like, must be and it, hundreds of thousands
just
of
everywhere,
pounds.
Just everywhere.
Every
shirts, bits and bobs.
Shirts, gloves, boots, socks, shin pads.
Fucking hell.
Sort of like pennants that he had, all sorts of little bits and pieces. Now, he does sort of publicise this little secret museum a little bit, but not properly. I don't think anybody really knows the ins and outs and the magic of... this little room hidden away in the Courtier Espagnoli where he plays simply the best before you walk in, turns all the lights off. So that was something very, very special. And Ciro, you know, Ciro can help you find Antonio.
Obviously, those are two specific moments from your... How long were you in Naples again for?
I think I was there for like 4 days.
That time, anyway. You've been back before, but I have to only echo what James says about the city as well, that it's just... It's got there is a soul to it. I fortunately for me, my auntie moved to Naples in 1985-86. So I've been out to Naples quite a lot when I was younger. But
I find this such an amazing part of your life.
I know, it's weird, isn't it?
That you have this. I'm always amazed when you talk about
it. Yeah, yeah. So I went.
I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah. So I saw a Maradona training session at the. Being 6'5" or 6" or whatever I was. Was I six? I was six. Obviously, I didn't realize.
Had you seen him in a match other than that? Or is that the only time you've seen him in the flesh?
Yeah, that's the only... I mean, I say we were at the top tier of the Napoli. You know, there were 60,000 people for a training session. It was mental. But I don't really remember too much. And I'm always... Yeah, I don't remember too much. I just remember that thing. I remember my dad always saying to me, just remember you've done that. But as a result, in 2007, I was going out to Naples. And it was actually my dad's birthday. And he was, at the time, living... quite close to my auntie and uncle. It was just around the same time I met a young lady called Rebecca from Horsham.
Who are you?
I said, sir,
would you like to come Italy? And it was our first, I mean, it was only a couple of months into our relationship. Would you like to come to Italy? It's my dad's birthday. We're going to just outside Naples. Would you like to come? She was like, yeah, why not? Anyway, so I indoctrinated her into the way of the whites, my dad's birthday party, which... was probably a little bit unfair, but to be fair to her, she loved it. But on the Sunday, the day after my dad's birthday party, I said, Napoli are playing. Let's go and watch Napoli. Now,
did she know about your football illness?
She knew about my football illness because that's how she met me, because I came back 7 pints down from watching Yeovil lose to Derby County, and she still thought I was okay. So she wanted, So
you're more than okay, my friend.
Yeah. So we went to. Went to watch Napoli. I can't even remember who they were playing. Anyway, Rebecca is a girl from the suburbs in Horsham, which is a lovely, lovely place. She'd been to Italy loads and loads of times, Bologna mainly, and that because of her work. But she hadn't been to Naples before, and it's fair to say that she was quite surprised by certainly around the, if anyone's been to Naples and the stadium. It's, let's just say, it's rugged, isn't it? There's no denying that. It's rugged and it's very different. She'd only been to football a few times, I think, at Wembley and stuff like that. So she'd been to modern stadiums, so to speak. And, yeah, at one point, I did have to stand outside the door of the ladies' toilets to stop loads of, like, 20-30-year-old Italian lads in ultra, you know, with ultra scarves on going to the toilet. Because obviously the door was fucking not working. The lock wasn't working. And obviously... The toilet wasn't great. One of those Italian toilets where it's just a hole in the floor, essentially. So
she did find it quite an experience. And I was like, I was loving it. I was absolutely loving it. You know, there was police helicopters everywhere. People were jumping over the turnstiles to get in. I thought this was fucking brilliant.
Just to finish off, I think what I wanted, you know, what I wanted, the preface that I was given here is because, you know, loads of photographers recently have used Naples as a backdrop for big fashion shoots where they're paid loads of money and they go in and they take photos of the little kids and the people sunbathing on the beach, and it becomes a little bit poverty porny. So I think what I'm trying to say is go and sort of actually involve yourself and speak to the people who are there. I mean, if anybody would like to read the piece that I wrote, it's now online. So I speak to those people that I mentioned there. I spoke to a sociologist called Luca Bifulco, who told a story about how when Diego was playing, they released money, fake money with his face on it instead of proper Italian currency.
Oh, wow.
And the authorities had to remove it from circulation because it started to become worth more than you could buy more in Naples with that money.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Changing the economy of a city. Yeah.
I was also lucky enough to speak to, through a couple of contacts, I was lucky enough to speak to Diego's taxi driver from the time. And I think most importantly, I spoke to a guy called Max Gallo, Massimiliano Gallo, who runs a political and football paper called Il Napolista. Mm. And Max, even then, 2017, before Napoli had obviously won the Scudetto recently and even come close with Sarri, he spoke about the need for Neapolitans to move on from the worship of Maradona. He was the only one,
even of then,
all the people I spoke to, who said, we have to move on, we have to find new heroes, otherwise as a city, we're constantly looking back rather than looking forward, and we have to find new heroes for our city. So if you want to read it, it's on mundialmag.com. It's called Naples is Pregnant with Diego Maradona, and I hope that didn't sound too effusive.
No, mate.
I mean, 101 things to do for football before you die. Go on a trip with the reminding you
all the lads
of football.
All the lads.
It's the greatest weekend of my life.
Yeah,
I'm not promising, but I reckon it'll be out there.
Yeah.
If that's my role, I'll take it.
Introducing The Hattrick, a new subscriber newsletter from Mundial. Each week, there'll be three stories linked by a theme. Stories from islands, stories about people, stories about heroes, stories about villains, stories about love, hope, despair, joy, and, of course, goals. Go to mundialmag.com to sign up to The Hattrick now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tommy.
Go on. You know what, James? It's a new year.
Do you want me to do the same voice I usually do?
Do whatever voice you want.
Mascots of the world, unite and take over.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Little harmony.
I like that little harmony. Yeah,
is that Pavarotti?
Yeah.
Pavarotti and Morrissey.
I feel like I've got a...
Wait, let's do Morrissey and Pavarotti.
I feel like I can do...
Oh, like when Bono did that track with Pavarotti.
I feel like I can do opera.
Anyway, let's not get too distracted because we've got to talk about... I'm surprised we haven't touched on this mascot.
It's overdue, isn't it?
In the Mascots of the World Unite and Take Over feature. Tommy, tell us all about it.
Take us to one of your furry, furry friends.
Well, you can tell someone's sick because they've chucked me a segment.
Yeah.
Only when they're desperate.
Wow. Oh,
it's usually on the train.
Tommy was a producer on a podcast.
Was being the operative word. Anyway. Right,
there's Owen's draw. I'm just going to get that little violin.
His draw's still in.
I'm joking, of course. This week, we are talking about, finally, some would say, because he is the most suggested mascot we've had. It's Kingsley from Partick Thistle.
Who has suggested him?
So we've got Darren, Owen Smith, not Owen Blackhurst, and David Martin on the Spotify question for episode 18. Yeah. The best way to describe him, for me anyway, some people see a Pokemon, a misshapen sort of evil, demented Pokemon. I see a Lynchian Lisa Simpson.
Yeah.
It's the big yellow guy who's got a big star head.
A terrifying individual.
He is a terrifying individual. Yeah, so he became a meme in the mid-2010s, and he was designed by an artist called David Shrigley. Now, there was you remember when this happened, don't you, guys? And there was a lot of, like, I would describe it as online hatred towards the artist, towards the mascot, etc.
Vitriol.
Yeah, it was vitriol. That was vitriol.
It was
palpable vitriol on Twitter. And if you Google it now, there's so many articles of, like, just the Metro or Daily Mail saying Partick Thistle fans backlash, etc. But the artist himself, Shrigley, he defends it. He says he represents the angst of being a football fan, which anyone who has supported Partick Thistle over the last few decades understands. People are saying, he's terrible. He's a disgrace to the good name of mascots. Do mascots have a good name? Do they have a union? If you look on the internet, as I did yesterday, you can find a far scarier mascot.
Yeah.
Brilliant. But that's a brilliant quote.
Yeah, it is. And he calls it, Shrigley also calls him the thinking football fans' choice. We're a very literate group of fans, unlike the riffraff who go to the other Glasgow teams. So I really like Shrigley just from reading these
what
quotes.
A great rebuttal.
Case
closed.
There's
a real mic drop moment at
case
the end
closed,
of that.
Yeah, but the real discussion here, I suppose, and maybe this is a bit like, I don't know, maybe this is a bit far removed from football, but a lot of the things I was reading about it is, well, it's great art because all these years later,
we're still talking about it.
We're still fucking talking about it.
There you go.
And as soon as it came out, there was a reaction, and it was a divided reaction. And obviously, as with a lot of news, you only see the hatred is more highlighted, as a lot of things on social media are. But there's a lot of people who love this mascot as well. And he's a community man, like a lot of these mascots are. People dress as him for Halloween. People have made their own Kingsley costumes, which he retweets.
I am 100%. Doing a dress as Kingsley at the next. Yeah.
What else is he doing? Because there's some good. I can see.
He loves the weens. He loves the weens. There's picture. He's always retweeting pictures of the weens. There's loads of pictures of the weens, and he's just sort of like. And then their parents, and then you can see his, like, dismantled, disgusting, mad face. And I wouldn't call it disgusting. I love it.
No.
I always love this mascot. Initially I thought it was a prank when they first released it. I remember being in the Five Live newsroom. And everyone was just sending it round.
Everyone
it was mad.
Was
it was such big news that day.
What year was it?
2015.
Okay.
Most people here, without even seeing a picture of it, will know who will have seen this mascot back then. Because the people, sort of people that listen to Reminding You I Love Football will have followed the similar things. We must have tweeted about it back in 2015, for God's sake.
He also, Kingsley, I should have mentioned this right at the top. Kingsley hates preseason. Because he's from California, so he loves the sun.
California?
Yeah, apparently so. That was his reasoning. This is in an actual interview with Kingsley. And, according to him was once asked to be on Strictly. I don't know if I believe it.
No, I'm not sure. I don't know if I believe it. You know, I think he
just, but let's take him by his
let's
word.
Take him, let, let,
he'd do like as well him. As Les Dennis.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Extras.
Les Dennis. How does David Shrigley end up a team on the outskirts of Glasgow, or designing a mascot for on the outskirts of Glasgow?
So Kingsley was born when Shrigley met Mike Wilkins, who's the managing member of Kingsford Capital Management. So it's a bit of a sponsory thing. But it has borne
roots.
A legend. The Californian hedge fund that sponsors Partick Thistle.
Yeah.
Shrigley agreed to design a new version of Kingsford's boring corporate logo, a rising sun, for the Jags. And then that took over, the mascot took over a previous mascot, which was a sort of doe-eyed, child-friendly, Jaggy McBee, who was just a big cartoon bee.
They're called Jags, aren't they? Yeah.
But I think, you know, Kingsley sticks in the memory, doesn't it?
Oh, and, I mean, you know, we, I 100% agree.
Yeah.
And what I would say is, like all good things, and including this podcast, it's all started off the back of...
I thought you were going to say comes to an end.
No, no. Like all good things, it's and like this podcast, it started off with a hedge fund giving someone some money. And here we are, making sweet, sweet audio gold, thanks to our big football.
Thank you, big football.
Yeah, yeah. So, like all good things. You know, you can mock the hedge funds and the like. These
thank you for my house.
Go around the hedge fund, then, not
yeah, exactly.
If I'm Kingsley hanging out the back of it.
Exactly. Exactly, you know. So, it is what it is. But that is... I think everyone...
We had to do him.
We had to do
him. He's good. He's terrifying. People hate him, but people should love him. And I love that rebuttal from Shrigley.
As rebuttals go, it's up there, isn't it?
So, yeah.
That's a great one, Tommy. Thanks very much.
And thank you for all the suggestions. Keep them coming in because...
Yeah, definitely.
Like I said, this was very last minute. And so if it wasn't for you listeners, we wouldn't have him.
Mundial joins the dots for football culture. And that's not a boast by us, but the words of an actual subscriber in our most recent reader survey. Why not see what they're on about and have a look at Mundial magazine? 100 pages of global football magic, released 4 times a year. It looks great, smells great, and the writing isn't bad either. Go to mundialmag.com or follow the link in the show description to find out more.
Ins and Outs is influenced by the brilliant 80s fanzine The End, and it's where we say what's good and what's not. Normally, it's Owen saying whether it ends up being in or out. But of course, as I'm the host, I have the power today.
I don't think you've ever had this power.
I've never had this
I've
power.
I've had it once.
I'm going to start with James Bird to my left. Come on, James. What's your in this week?
My in this week is to listen to music when you're warming up for football or when you're like practicing on your own, doing some kick-ups and that. It makes you feel like you're fucking Ronaldinho or like you're Maradona in the warm-up video. Like, it just gets you in the mood. You can put yourself into a different mood depending on how you want to play that day and how you want to play.
Yeah, like, totally agree.
So what was your go-to track that when you most recently did it?
Press the button again. I listen to the Love Is Life. Is it Love Is Life?
Life is Life.
Life is Life.
Yeah, yeah.
I listen to Life is Life the other day.
Live is Life.
The track that Maradona.
Na 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 na. Na. Life is Life by Opus.
Which is, you know, really that's the most famous warm up song, I'd say. But you know,
so you listen to that and that.
Today, Matthew, I'm going to be
amazing.
My old Sunday league team with Libero in the changing room before every game, we had that.
Yeah.
And first ever season, got to a cup final, came second in the league, second season won the league. And every game, that's the tradition.
Well, yeah, they about visualisation.
It works.
I was listening to that the other day. Before playing this week, I listened to the new Kaz Is Dead song, Venom, which is like an 80s rap, like 80s style, but then rap over the top of it. And it just gets you into the mode, man. Like when you lose yourself a little bit in the game and you haven't done something good for a couple of minutes or you lose the ball, you start thinking about what you were listening to beforehand.
So
you get more in the mode.
I agree.
These are your AirPods, yeah?
Just sticking them in. And I think what it also is, it's quite a big rebuttal to people who, when they see the players walking on the pitch beforehand, they've got headphones and everyone's like, oh, fucking hell, why aren't they talking to each other? Why aren't they doing this? They're getting in the zone.
They're getting in the zone.
Channeling who they want to play like.
That have worked all week, that earned tens of thousands.
Do you think Pelé wouldn't be listening to fucking, the Beatles or Motown if he had the option back in the 60s?
Get it in your ears.
Of course he would.
He would have done. So
that's my in.
That is absolutely in, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that next time I play football. Get those bone conductors in and have a bit of
him just watch Seb walking around on the pitch with his big over ears.
Yeah. So
signalling a plane coming in to land.
Yeah, just acted all of a sudden this fucking 737 lands on a penalty spot. Shit, sorry, lads.
Did you see that?
Yeah. I am going to go to Tommy. Tommy, what? This, yeah, well, this might be something that you might have on your headphones before you play football.
I wouldn't myself, because that would be very arrogant. But yes, it's
be funny though, wouldn't it?
It would be funny. Yeah, it's my band Church Party, who I've spoken about a little bit before.
Yeah.
Not in a little while. We have a new double A side.
Double A side.
Which is, yeah, it's a bit old school, isn't
I
it?
I like it.
A new double A side, because we were like, they're both bangers, so we couldn't decide which would be the A side. And this is out, if you are listening on the day this is released, this is out tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Friday, 19th of January. If not, just go and listen, because it'll be on Spotify forever.
Yeah.
Ed, could we...
Oh, we're going to listen.
Oh, wow, we've got...
Ooh, you like this one,
a little bit Nirvana-y to start with there.
And there's some football lyrics.
Oi!
I like this one.
This is class. Oh.
We'll get to the chorus. We'll get to the chorus. You are.
Beautiful voice.
Yeah.
I can. This is going to do well, isn't it?
I do well.
Seb said the same.
I did say this.
The chorus is coming.
Do you shout in the chorus?
Ish. Keep smiling.
This is good.
This is a premiere of it, obviously, you know, because it's coming out the day.
This is a premiere.
If you're listening to this on the day of release, you are getting a sneak peek of is sure to be a banger.
There you go.
I like that, Tommy. Thank you. And I'm absolutely going to put
it
that in.
And it has the words Italia 90
exactly.
in it.
Exactly.
So there you go.
What more could you want?
The bass and guitar reminds me a lot of Interpol.
Oh,
top five for me,
James,
Interpol.
James.
A lot.
Thank you.
I love it.
That means the world.
That is great. So,
a bit like Tokyo Police Club as well. Do you remember that back in the day?
When you're standing near Tokyo Police Club.
Welcome to the new podcast, reminding you why you love noughties indie.
Yeah. I've got their
which
first.
I'm fully behind.
So that is Church Party's double A side, Belladonna and Utopia.
Banged that, did Tommy.
That is great, Tommy. And
thank you.
The reason I'm also going to put that in, Tommy is fresh from a very early train to the record. And the night before, you were supporting the Dutch Uncles, was it?
Dutch Uncles, yeah.
So you went to sleep very late because you were obviously buzzing from performing, and you got an early train. So even more reason why I should say it's in. But I'm saying it's in.
Thank you,
sir. It's a very good song.
Crucially different to the to have been Dutch played last night by a Dutch oven.
Yeah, yeah. Mrs. White, his ears are burning.
And the rest.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Nostril hairs.
We've been quite clean this episode.
We have been,
Someone had to drop something.
Yeah. I'm going to give a shout out. Am I in this week? Because I have the power. And for some reason, I didn't even think about what I was wearing today. Just grabbed a jumper. And then I realised, it's the Damien John Kelly House jumper. Collaboration with 14 Admirals. But I'm going to shout out all the good people at Damien John Kelly House. I think I may have spoken about them before. I did the dip in the Mersey with them one very, very, very cold January morning. But they are, and I'm going to say this word for word, what they say on their social media, because I don't want to get it wrong, because it's important. They are an abstinence-based recovery living centre for adult males, belonging, connection and purpose through arts, sport and culture. And they are based in Liverpool. And if you're not familiar with the brilliant work of Roy, who is Bad Walt on Twitter, and he did a great poetry book called Algorithm Party.
Yeah.
And he also wrote the article about Wayne Rooney for us recently. But
Brilliant writer,
and just a brilliant, brilliant guy. So, I'd shout out them. Go and give them a follow on Twitter. They are helping people in incredible ways, and you can help them out by buying them random things like on their Amazon list, which genuinely make a difference. So yeah. I'm going to shout them out. James Bird, tell me you're out for this week and I will see if I agree.
My out this week is going back through your own social media.
Oh, no.
And seeing what you wrote 10 years ago.
No, even 10 months ago for me.
Yeah, I recently had to find some photos of like me with a friend from university. So I went back to sort of 11 years ago.
Yeah.
And the nonsense. Yeah. The absolute nonsense that I would write on my Facebook wall, and
we're going that far back.
This is 11 years on Facebook. It's pre-Twitter. Bloody hell! Like just just write into mates on their walls to obviously, so other people can see your conversation and see what you're chatting about instead of just texting them.
Amazing.
Oh, my, I need to dissolve my Facebook.
That is definitely out, James. I think, yeah, definitely. Oh, crikey, I wouldn't want to go back through my... Yeah.
Easily.
Oh,
yeah.
Christ. Tommy, come on.
Very simple one, oranges with pips or seeds, whatever you call them. And I realised the reason I've lost a lot of weight.
Always bring oranges into the studio.
I've got oranges in the studio right now. All I eat throughout the day, really, is just orange after orange after orange.
Yeah, yeah.
I realised subconsciously I stole this off Roy Keane, moaning about it, just going, oh, come on, Gary, this... That's not good enough. Why these oranges got pips, man? Come on, that's disgraceful.
Oh, God.
But he's fucking right. He's spot on, to be honest. Like, every time I get one, and the ones we got in the studio today are from Waitrose, so I think we're safe.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Sainsbury's around the corner, I always go for the cheaper option.
Can I just say, if there are no oranges with pips and there's no oranges at all, you can't put that.
I'm not going to put it in either, actually. Only because the rare occasion I do have an orange, I just love leaning back and just trying to spit the pips into the bin.
But there'd be no oranges left if the oranges didn't have pips in. That's how they grow.
This is it. We can't argue. We can't argue with this, Tommy. Okay. Tommy, it's unfortunate. But
if you put them out, then there's no oranges left.
I'd be fucked then.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be back on the Ben and Jerry's.
They're not out, I'm afraid. I'm going to have to say that they're not out because of purely the reason that James suggested that. Anyway.
It's science.
It's science. Because of science.
Science.
Yeah. God, woke James Bird. Bringing out his science.
Whoa!
Take me, officer. My hands are tied. As Asad Raza once said, they've got me again.
They got
the woke police. Yeah.
The woke police got arrested. My out, which naturally will be out because I'm the host and I'm suggesting it, is football stadiums, modern football stadiums, where the roofs aren't quite long enough and don't protect the first few rows from the rain. I'm looking at you, the Emirates Stadium.
Oh, wow.
The Emirates?
Yeah. I was on row 5 the other day at the Emirates Stadium and... it's fair to say that I was not protected from the elements. God bless my Berghaus Gore-Tex coat, but I don't think there's any excuse in this day and age to not have roofs that actually cover the various seats, especially when you're paying a pretty penny for it. Anyway.
I am going to need to clip up God bless my Gore-Tex Berghaus coat and send it viral on Twitter.
That is
George Costanza over here.
You have been listening to Reminding You Why You Love Football. I've been Seb White and the host of this week's episode.
Hey, James, what a host.
Three cheers for Seb White. Bloody hell, well done, lad.
Just one cheer then, not three. You didn't carry it on. A bit like when Ava's team loses in 11 a side game and they don't want to do the three cheers. They're like, hang on, and it gets quieter and quieter.
It reminds me.
What's the crowd chanting at? Oh, no.
They do.
Why are they chanting that at you?
They're not booing at.
Unreal.
The Spiritland Ultras.
Thank you very, very much for listening. If you got this far, you must have enjoyed it. James, Bird, thank you very much.
Thank you, Seb.
Tommy Stewart.
Thank you, Seb.
And Owen, we've missed you.
Owen, we genuinely have missed you, and we look forward to having you back next week in the very, very hot seat, which James has sort of half sat on during today's.
He is not going to like that. Do I not like that?
Thank you very much. Please leave a review. Please subscribe to the magazine, mundialmag.com, so we can keep doing this and all the other things that we love doing and we think you like us doing because you keep telling us that. So, yeah, thank you very much and good night.
Love you. Bye.
Reminding You Why You Love Football is a Mundial and Football co-production. Produced by Tommy Stewart and Seb White, hosted by me, Owen Blackhurst, and recorded on the run.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.